Well, good morning and welcome to Down to Brass Tacks for Tuesday, the 31st day of March 2019. Certainly March has been a month to remember. We're now at the end of March and we look forward to brighter days during the course of April. Of course, at this stage it doesn't seem highly likely, but nonetheless we can always hope. My name is Peter Wakeham and I am in this morning with Mr. John Stout, and the two of us will take you right through until 2 p.m. Remember, you can call us on 434-1790. You can also use the chat, 266-IVOB. Feel free to email me also at peter.w.wickham@gmail.com. So we look forward to hearing you, having, as usual, vigorous conversation about various issues during the course of this morning and this afternoon. Of course, you know what will be foremost on not only my mind, but certainly in the minds of so many others. But we have some good news to share, and let me start by wishing the mighty Gabby, the most honorable and most mighty Gabby, happy 71st birthday. He celebrated his 71st birthday yesterday. It's hard to imagine Gabby being a person of 70 years old, but nonetheless, we're happy that he has made it and can still create some level of confusion as to his real age at this stage in his life. So Mighty Gabby, many happy returns to you. Like me, you celebrated your birthday under the cloud of COVID. Nonetheless, I'm sure you made the best of it. I know that you've been having some health challenges of late, and I'm happy that at this stage you are celebrating your birthday, notwithstanding, and that you're able to be in reasonably good health, all things considered. So many happy returns to Mighty Gabby. I'm also happy to note that Prime Minister Motley has had a successful operation. Of course, Prime Minister, our thoughts are with you, and we certainly want to wish you all the best, a speedy recovery, and we trust that you will soon be back out to work. And I'll say not too soon, Prime Minister, because I do feel that after all that has happened, you deserve to rest and recover fully before returning to what will be easily the most arduous service that any politician can endure. And on that note, I should say that I really cannot say that I envy any of the prime ministers in any of the Caribbean countries, or indeed any leader across the world that has to deal with these challenges now. Things have been rough in a way that no one could ever have predicted. And I believe the last time things were like this would have been probably in 1945 during the Second World War, or 1918 during the First. But before that and since, we've not had, before this, we haven't really had anything of this nature that a leader would have had to contend with. So I certainly want to wish you all the best. I'm not going to second guess any of you, from Jamaica in the top to Suriname in the south. I do feel that all of you have some major challenges, and certainly my thoughts are with you all as you proceed. I also want to give my best wishes to the acting Prime Minister, Santia Bradshaw. She, of course, continues to create history, especially as Mr. Tony Hoyas is now the acting first dude. I don't know if we ever had one before in Barbados. So I want to assure them of my unrelenting support, and certainly the support of this nation, as Santia, now you are forced to carry this tremendous weight of what has become a major global crisis on your shoulders for the time being. Leaders are often created under pressure, and the fact that you have essentially jumped from a major health challenge into this major global challenge will speak volumes about your leadership abilities, and I am sure that you will rise to the occasion, as you will. So certainly want to wish you all the best. I'm loving the COVID Calypso Challenge, which seems to have been started by iWeb. Thus far, I heard splendid rendition from Ian Allen and Peter Ram. I heard a not-so-splendid rendition from Gilbert Rowe, and Cassie even jumped in with one that was poker, to use Elambe's words. I guess it's good, though, that they're doing it, and I hope that over the days and weeks to come, more Calypsonian singers and maybe even a talk show host or two should jump into this challenge and give a message that essentially shares some joy in a way that is safe at these times. So that's the good. The bad is that I read and listened to the response of the Tsar, Mr. Richard Carter. And again, Richard, my thoughts are also with you as you carry a tremendous burden. Richard is a person for whom I've always had considerable respect back from the days of Stalesis as a researcher. And I am sure that Richard will carry the mantle, the task as best as he can. But Richard spoke yesterday about social distancing and being unhappy with the way that we have approached it. I too am unhappy with many of the things that I've seen. I took a solitary ride up to St. Lucie on Sunday as it was my birthday, and I started out at 6 o'clock, and I cycled alone deliberately because I felt that that's the best way to social distance all the way to St. Lucie. And as I passed, especially as we got into the country, I saw road tennis matches going on with 4 or 6 people. I saw people having a drink by a bar and that type of thing. This is not good enough. I don't think that people are understanding what social distancing is all about. This is not a time for a social drink. I listened to Larry on Saturday, which would have been a modified version of South Saturdays, which he did via the telephone. And I was pleased that the South person that he was talking to said he was doing strictly takeaway service. And then Raul came on the phone, and I'm happy that Raul was able to go and get his sauce on a Saturday. But he spoke to the fact that there were individuals in the bar drinking and maintaining the social distance. And what nonsense is that? This is not a time where you should be going out to have a drink with anyone. And I mean, quite accidentally, the fact that that was going on in that bar was revealed, and that is not good enough. I don't think that my people are getting it. You shouldn't be playing road tennis in the 4s and 6s. What nonsense is that? If you are socializing with members of your household, that is fine. But do not be going into the street to be meeting people, to be playing any road tennis and this kind of thing. This is not good enough. And this is when I hear that the Tsar is unhappy. I understand why he's unhappy. And then I saw this video, which one of our church leaders, and a lot of these people really irritate me, as you all know. Is online talking a lot of nonsense about the government can't tell him not to hold church, that God has to tell him not to hold church. I mean, are you serious? Another set of clowns in Antigua, they are saying, they are holding church and quoting Bible verses saying, touch not the Lord's anointed. And the police fighting with them to close on the service because there's too many people there. And I reflected on that, and then I looked at what the Indian police were doing, which is to get a bamboo and bust the tail. Because quite frankly, when you have church leaders behaving in this way, but that's the only thing you can do. And I saw them clear out a mosque. And each of them gets some warm lashes to the tail, because that is the only way you can deal with people that are just not getting it. And I don't believe in no corporal punishment, but you know, there comes some times when you have to adopt measures which are unconventional to send a message to people who are just not listening, just not hearing, and just not getting it. So those are part of my concerns. Grenada has stepped up their response. The Grenadian Prime Minister has been, I would say, far more cautious than most in that he closed down his borders, notwithstanding that he is managing a crisis reasonably well. He still has a couple of cases that emerged locally, but he has taken whatever action he could. In Grenada, they have moved to a shutdown that's almost virtual, where most of the country is shut down. People are told they have to stay indoors for the next 48 hours or something of that nature. If you are going to the supermarket, you go local. So you don't drive across the country because you feel that there's something at a Massey Rendezvous that you need to have a particular type of coffee or something like that. You go to your local store. It's excellent advice. Go locally, get what you need, and come back. This is not a normal crisis. This is not a normal situation. We are at war. And when you're at war, whatever you can get to eat to sustain yourself, then you eat it. There will be a time for all of the stuff that we're accustomed having. But this is not that time. So the idea of going local is something that makes a whole lot of sense. I have made a deliberate attempt. I drove my vehicle this morning for the first time. And I have made a deliberate attempt to move around locally, either on foot or by bicycle, because I do feel that as part of our contribution to the exercise, we need to close and keep as much local activity as we possibly can in terms of any immediate needs that have to be satisfied. Anytime you have to get in a car or go driving about different places, it clearly means that you are going too far, and that's perhaps a good message that you should follow. And then I want to talk about the ugly. And I read a newspaper, and there was this backstory in terms of the banks and the issues with the banks closing in Bridgetown, where an old lady who was 88 years old traveled from Josie Hill to Bridgetown, presumably to cash a check, and then got there and she was disappointed that the bank was not open. Now get this, you're 88 years old and you're traveling from Josie Hill to Bridgetown, passing Warrens, and then complaining when you get to Bridgetown that the bank was closed and they were telling her to go to Warrens. Now, what is wrong with that picture? We had a conversation last week about the fact that people who are in that age group have no right receiving any check to go and cash any check. The money should be deposited directly. And in a crisis situation, this is even more so. What is she doing on a bus traveling from Josie Hill to Bridgetown? Why is she passing several places along the road that could have cashed that check and coming into town to create confusion in a situation where she should not be leaving the house, period, at that age? We have to protect our elderly folk. And I think that there's time for tough love. Anybody who's responsible for someone who is in that age group needs to tell that person, I know you like your bank book updated, and I know you like to do things the way you like to do it, but you can't do it so. So any deposits, withdrawals, business that has to be done by someone else, because you cannot mess about. This is a matter of life and death. I'm also reading about the persistence of some sex workers. I mean, really, no. We made mock sport at this issue last week. How can you be advertising sexual services at a time like this and talking about you are willing to sell during the day because the nighttime thing is not working out? If a hairdresser has to stop, if a nail technician has to stop, if a podiatrist has to stop doing people's toes, why should you have to go and work to have sex with somebody when that is one of the most intimate activities and you're talking about you're not touching the person? Come off it. So that too is something that I really feel needs to stop. It is no longer funny. You can't be selling sex at a time like this and potentially spreading a virus at a time like this. Like all other persons who are working in those sectors, they say if the hairdresser has stopped working, why shouldn't you? And then my final irritant is this whole matter of court processing. And I saw something in the paper about Magistrate Bannister, his worship, dealing with people at the door. I have no problem if Magistrate Bannister is dealing with criminals at the door. I mean, people who are charged with serious offenses and whatnot. Why would you be dealing with traffic offenses at these times? I get annoyed at the fact that in 2020, we are still dragging people for a call. They're down to court to deal with traffic offenses. But I am even more annoyed now, because I think the criminal thing now is that you are dragging law-abiding, relatively decent citizens into a court for parking illegally, for breaking the speed limit, for rolling stops, for all of these other myriad of offenses that are created that cause traffic offenses that are ticketable. And you're dragging them down to court in a crisis like this and telling them stand up at the door and plead, forgetting the fact that they have to congregate in the courtyard, the fact that they have to catch bus and come down there in some instances, the fact that they have to get a ride in a car because they know where to park around there. They're exposing themselves. And I think that government has to do better. I'm sorry. I mean, and I understand that this has taken them a while to do, but we are in a crisis situation. Government either needs to stop dealing with traffic offenses now. If the United Kingdom can say that they are suspending all jury trials on criminal matters for the time being, you're going to tell me that in Barbados we can't say for the time being we are not dealing with traffic offenses. We will wait until such time as the situation is better, and then they will continue to pursue these people in this ridiculous method of calling somebody in a court to plead to an offense. If you can't issue a ticket, don't bother. And you know one of the good things about this crisis is that so many things that were impossible now happening overnight. For years, I heard it was necessary for somebody who was on unemployment to go to places, for somebody to watch him in the face to stand and perform. Absolute nonsense. And all of a sudden, now you can do it overnight or you can drop it in a box because of a crisis. And you can tell me that we can't deal with traffic offenses in the same way. We government has to step up, and I understand that it has been challenging, and I understand that people have not been cooperating. But wherever possible, government has to do its part to send a signal to people that it's not business as usual. And I find it offensive that we should hear talk about a magistrate dealing with traffic matters at a time like this and exposing all of those people who are involved in such matters for parking illegally, for breaking the speed limit to a COVID virus in a situation where we are otherwise told the country needs to shut down. We ought to get serious, folks. 434-1790, you can call me. I just received a WhatsApp note, which is a good place to start. Not thinking is a luxury only idiots have. Intelligent people do not have that luxury. Intelligent people have to think, plan, and make decisions to ensure that they survive. Don't follow the herd. Be a thinker. Peter, I agree with you. The cultural mental block that we have in this country from top to bottom, even in time of crisis, too many people are still thinking within the box. This pandemic will define us as a nation forever if we do not use creative ways to get things done during this critical time. Well said, sir, and I thank you. Don DeBrastas, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Greetings and salutations to your good self.
Thank you.
Your preamble is indeed very commendable, full of substance and facts. Thank Isaiah 40:31. But theirs that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. On hearing the bulletin pertaining to the Honorable Mayor Amor Motley, QCMP, Prime Minister of Barbados and political leader, my heart was filled with ecstasy as our citizens are remembering her in our prayers. Mr. Wickham, sir, there are four steps to accomplishment. Plan purposefully, prepare prayerfully, proceed positively, pursue persistently. Mr. Wickham, sir, on or about 1:15 p.m. last Thursday, March the 26th, 2020, you entertained a caller on religion, by which you said after he finished his contribution that you were advised not to respond. Honesty gives a person strength, but not always popularity. I believe, sir, that Mr. Anthony Wiggins and the humble servant are the only callers to this program from its inception. While revisiting memory lane, I recall that the late Sir Frederick Lee Smith first came to the program as a moderator. I said to him that he should be more of a law on call than a moderator, which became a reality. However, sir, immediately after my conversation with you last week, when you asked an open question on sexual unfaithfulness of married persons, I did some research and came up with the idea. Due to the fact that there are so many denominations in this country, I'd like to see the introduction to the program with you being host, the voices of the Christian community speaking. Mr. Wickham, sir, time has changed. The majority of modern denominations, technically speaking, are legal robbers. Here is an example of tithe. A little boy took off his tithe and put it into the offering plate. Then his mother asked him why, he replied, "The pastor told us to give of our tithes and offerings." Things have changed so much, how real used to refer to a store, not a computer equipment. Enter was a sign on a door, not a button on a computer keyboard. And check was a piece of wood. Fast food was what you ate during lunch. Rock music at one time took a place when grandma sang a lullaby in a rocking chair. You have any memory of hearing a pastor saying he built a church for over $3 million and don't have, or a person once said, and may further ask, have you ever heard a pastor asking the government, rather, for 4 acres of land to build houses for the poor? I recall a former and late pastor saying that he had more education than a lot of people that are driving BMWs, and he was retiring from teaching to open a church. So he did. And at the time of his passing, he owned 2 churches and more than 1 BMW. Thanks for your patience, as usual, and listen to your response, sir.
Sir, just stay on the line. I wanted to ask you to leave your contact information with the producer. There's a young lady who is doing, well, I don't know if she's young anymore, but she used to be young. She's doing some research using the spoken, the oral tradition, and she wants to speak to you. So please leave your information with the producer, John Stowe, before you hang up. And I want to thank you also for your contribution to this morning's program. Lady is asking me if, in a crisis, if I would eat Pigfoot sauce. And she's asking in the context of my saying that, you know, during these times of crisis, you have to do things differently. The simple answer to that is no. If I have to resort to eating grass, I will probably do so more quickly than consuming any part of a swine ever in life. Things will have to be real, real bad. And I suspect that it would always be easier to find grass or something similar than it would be to find Bigfoot souls. I remember when I spoke to a lady who talked about the aftermath of Hurricane Allen in Dominica, she said that they lived on pumpkin for a long time after. She said that in some of the village country areas where it was difficult to get to people, the first vines that were able to resuscitate were pumpkin vines. And then they found themselves eating pumpkin morning, noon, and night. So, I could live with that. I am a pumpkin eater, so, you know, I could deal with that far more easily than the Bigfoot sauce. Don DeBrass, that's good morning.
Good morning, Peter.
Hey, morning. How you doing, sir?
Not too bad.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to be able to go back over what we started last week, but prior to that, I could say openly that this virus has caused me to do something that I don't do.
Which is?
Watching TV.
Oh, okay.
Had time watching TV.
Oh, you don't like TV?
Nah.
Okay.
But it so happened last night that I was able to watch the Governor General delivering her speech to the nation. Now, let me say this out front. I hope people don't take it politically. Now, if it is one thing, you know, and every, as people say, don't care how bad a person, there's some good in them. You ever hear that term?
Mm-hmm.
But I would say this. After hearing the Governor General last night, I felt so proud. And I cannot say nothing less that if it is one good thing Short did as a Prime Minister, is to appoint that lady as Governor General. She made me feel last night so comfortable the way she delivered herself. And you could feel the background of her upbringing. And I say this, that the people in St. Philip, especially Mason Town, should be very proud of this daughter of St. Philip. I felt so proud last night. And I usually don't listen to TV, you know. But that speech was outstanding, and I say hooray to those people in St. Philip and to the Prime Minister of naming her the Governor General. If it is one good thing.
Is she former Prime Minister?
Yeah, former Prime Minister.
And the current one for not firing her?
Pardon?
And the current one for not firing her?
Yeah, we can. I don't think she could have.
to be honest with you,
I wouldn't even go down that line.
No, she can.
This
she
is
can.
A Prime Minister.
Unfortunately, she didn't.
There's a governor. But you can add that. You can add on what you want. But there's a governor general that comes from the bosom of the working class.
Mm.
And then you see where governor generals came from and where she came from. And I feel so proud. And I say that, and I feel she put me in the mind of one of my former teachers, and I always made mention of her. We always talk about looking at people to set a benchmark for the fellow citizens, young people growing up. And this is another lady who raised the occasion of a headmistress in the name of Pauline Smith Blair, that was the headmistress of the garrison. She grew up in the agricultural belt, which they call it tenantry, and she never leaves. She built her home in the same area so that she would be there, that other young people could see that she had made a tremendous impact on the community, and that there she would be there for their betting call if they need assistance. That is where you call people with humanity. And I say today, I feel proud of Polly Smith Bear, and I feel proud of the Governor General. Okay. That is my contribution for that.
Right.
So let me go on.
No, I thought that was it for the day.
Nah, you want to run me, but we have discussions in a minute. Now, let me go on this virus. I want to ask a simple question. Emphasis is being placed on washing your hands and being tidy and making sure that everything is clean of your past, wipe it off with alcohol, do this and do that. I want to look at the life of a vagrant and the life of Prince Charles. Now, I know a vagrant personally that he used to reside with it. I hear to move them off the street.
Who is Ninja Man?
To move them. Pardon?
Ninja Man is a vagrant that you know?
Yeah, there's a guy there, so Independence Square.
And it's not Ninja Man?
No, not Ninja Man. No, this guy work at Andrew's Factory with me.
He has mental issues?
It seems so. I understand he got a daughter to teach it to. I don't know. Okay. Anyhow, I said that to say this. Prince does have all the convenience of keeping himself tidy and well kept. This vagrant, I would say he's not, he don't like doing the things that we should do. You understand? And you would know what I mean. I don't want to say openly.
Why not? Like,
if you see him in the Defense Square, you look at him, you would know that water is not, I would say.
It's not his friend.
Not his friend.
Okay.
Now, he don't have the virus. As far as I know, I have to pick him up. I would like them to check the final if he have a virus. I would like to study the carry-out so that Prince Charles have it. The Prime Minister of England have it. All of them tidy and wash their hands and such like. But this vagrant, as far as I know, don't have it. Could you give me any input on that?
Let me start at the beginning. Vagrants, I would say that vagrants are less likely to have an infectious disease like this for a couple of reasons. One of them is that they tend to have a higher resistance. A person who lives rough, sleeps on the street, a person who comes into contact with various infections on an ongoing basis, invariably the fact that that person is alive means that their resistance has to be high. I mean, I'm no doctor, but the logic would suggest that their resistance is normally higher than yours. If not, they would be dead already, because they come into contact with infections which would probably kill the average person that doesn't come into contact with them regularly. So that's one reason. The other reason is that if you are unlikely to get too close and personal with a vagrant. People don't really touch vagrants. Indeed, we try hard not to touch vagrants. And I think for that reason, the likelihood that they would spread a disease like this is lower because they're not really coming into contact with anyone, and you certainly are not coming into contact with them if you can avoid it. The challenge, the interesting thing for me was that one of the measures in the United Kingdom was that they cleared out hotels and they housed the vagrants because they believe that the vagrants would be a potential source of spreading this illness. So they have put many of their vagrants in hotels. I noticed that we have not done a similar thing in Barbados. So Ninja Man broke the curfew, as I understand it, and slept in Treasury Building. But in a sense, when a person has no home to go to, how do you deal with that? I don't know that that has been part of our COVID response. And I think our presumption is that these people are at no great risk for spreading this virus for the reasons that I mentioned earlier. So that was an interesting point. So that's it for you today?
No, but my last one.
All right.
Because I see...
I can just let the last one pass without making a response because we...
Yeah. Right. Let me say this. If I had to give you the Democratic Labour Party, because I know we were discussing this last week. If I had to give to you the Democratic Labour Party in the present status that it is in now, what would you do to bring it back alive?
Maybe we should talk about that after this crisis is over.
But that was said. That
but
was
I have been doing. I have been doing my own part in terms of comments I've been making in the public domain to suggest what the DLP needs to do to bring itself alive.
Yeah.
I think that the leader needs to save herself first. The problem is that she can't do that. No, this is not a time when the Democratic Labour Party can take any concrete steps to resuscitate itself. And the sad part is that we're going to sail into August. At this rate, we'll sail into August in a situation where they will have annual conference if they can hold it, and not really being able to make any significant impact. And my fear is that we are going to get to May. We're going to get to December, which is the halfway point of 2.5 years, and the Democratic Labour Party would not have a single nomination, a single candidate in place, and have leadership that is not necessarily receiving the reaction that we would have wanted. So perhaps in a few weeks' time, it would be good for us to chat some more about what the DLP needs to do. I've spoken about it intensively, but I am not convinced that they're listening, that anybody's listening.
I all boils down to leadership.
Mm-hmm.
To leadership. So we would do our research and come to the forefront whenever this thing, I would say, we hope that it go off. And we could discuss party politics in its true sense. Okay. Thank you, Peter.
All right.
And I will listen in.
Okay, take care. I reached out to Imam Suleiman Balbulia, who is a personal friend of mine. He's actually my age, and like me, he has gone a slightly different spiritual path. He has risen to the level of Imam, a highly respected member of the Islamic Society in Barbados. And I asked him about the position of the Islamic community regarding worship via the web. And he said that their worship does not necessarily allow for services via the web. However, they have encouraged the community to use the opportunity to pray at home with their families. The web is used to discuss topics, lectures, and various other issues, but they do not do the web-based service. They have been cooperating with the authorities' recommendations and keeping the families at home and praying as families, which is never a bad thing. Action which was taken in India that I spoke about earlier, where some of the worshippers of a particular mosque that defied the ban were whipped. He commented on that and said that certainly many within the community understand the necessity to enforce action that will stop the spread of a virus. So like me, I am not a flogging person, but I do feel that there are times when one has to take steps. And I think that the challenge that India faces is a peculiar one in terms of their population. Clearly, the whip was an effective deterrent, and those persons who were whipped publicly will not return to the mosque again. So the problem is solved, and you don't have to send anybody to court. So, yeah. Down to Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Peter.
Yeah. Sorry, let me just make a correction. Suleiman is no longer an imam. He was at one stage. He is now the chairman of the Islamic Council in Barbados. My apologies. Down to Brass Tacks, good morning.
Yeah, two things. Mm-hmm. One is very, very serious. I think I should deal with that first. A few Saturdays ago, not Saturday, that's gone, the one before, a former co-worker of mine was buried. He was on sick leave for 2 years. 1 year he was paid for, the next one he wasn't paid for. Had to sell drinks to survive. Right? I spoke to two people. Two. One you know about, and one you probably wasn't know, you wouldn't know. I was told that as long as you have been on 3 months continuous leave, you should be sent before the medical board. That didn't happen in his case. I was told also by another person that the chief, he should be boarded. There is a former co-worker of mine who had two heart attacks. One was at his workplace. Right? So far, he has been on state leave now for 1 year and 3 months. nothing has been sent or nothing has been requested for this man to be boarded. Now, you can't be forced, but if you are in a job and you don't know the law, I don't feel you should hold it. If you are in your job and you know the law, you're not exercising that law, I don't feel you should be there. Mm-hmm. A lot of people about this place, a lot of government workers, are being disadvantaged. And then another thing that I'm going to take this thing into is the unions. What purpose are they really serving? What purpose? And I don't, if I was a union leader and I had word of this, in all fairness, I don't know if they had any word of it, whether the person was unionized or not, I would have to go to that person's defense. Because it's a great injustice. Two heart attacks. Two. And nothing has been done for him. One man going to his grave. And then the family was told that they can get the gratuity. I had to intervene in that. And they want to let our people know too, that if you have a relative in government, if they are appointed, I don't know about unappointed people, I know about appointed, and they are deceased, you are entitled to the gratuity, they call letters of administration. That is your right. Mm-hmm. The second point I want to make, I think that the front page, check the tank. Now, they talk about social distancing, but yet I can see people on their tent bunched together. If you can't handle a small issue of getting people to be apart with the required length or distance, whatever, if you can't handle a small problem, they don't feel you can handle a major one. It's then the people check it for yourself.
Mm. All right, okay. Mr. P, thanks a lot for your call and for your contribution. I appreciate hearing from you. Suleiman Babulia is the secretary of the Barbados Muslim Association. He's not an imam any longer. He's not chairman of the Islamic Council. He is secretary of the Barbados Muslim Association. And I really do hope that this satisfies the several people who have been messaging me and questioning my reference to him as an imam. I do apologize for any misleading information that I have conveyed. Ultimately, Suleiman Babulia is Suleiman Babulia. I can say without reservation is that he is a friend of mine and certainly one of the few friends I have that are spiritual leaders, one can argue, which is an interesting observation. I have a message here from a gentleman who is not a regular caller, and he's asking about the opportunity to make a contribution. And he says, from the onset, we were aware that this virus had potential to decimate both our economies and our citizens. We chose not to close our borders while randomly testing at ports those who identify with high temperatures. In essence, many of the viruses, but not symptomatic, would have been undetected. St. Vincent reported their first case on March 10th, 2020, and immediately closed their borders. As it now stands, they have one case, while we have surpassed the 30 mark threshold. Looking at the above, while considering the island's small size and population density, our best course of action would have been to absorb the harder measures like closing our borders while only allowing supplies of essential stuff to enter through the port. Tourism and economy would have suffered regardless, but those who can be resuscitated, not like a dead person. Apparently the horse has already bolted. Richard, there's a lot of challenge I have with your comments, and there's also somebody online who's been talking about, you know, this need to close the borders. Let's be clear. Barbados receives so many lifelines, not only by sea, but also by air. We have ventilators coming in by air. We have medical supplies coming in by air. Most importantly also is that from time to time, we have had Barbadians coming home by air. So this idea that we should close our borders is something that I have always had difficulty with, because border closure creates problems. You also said, Richard, about St. Vincent and the Grenadines. St. Vincent has more than one case. I don't remember the exact number, but I was in contact with St. Vincent just yesterday, and they have more than one case. And the other point is that St. Vincent's borders are not closed. St. Vincent, like Barbados, has maintained an open border policy. We observe the fact that there is no commercial traffic to speak of. Charter flights, if any, have been allowed in. but that is in situations where you have a large number of Barbadians that need to get home. You cannot prevent a Barbadian from coming into Barbados under international law. They are your responsibility. So the idea of a border closure that would prohibit Barbadians from coming in is something that does not make political, economic, or practical sense. The fact of the matter is that several countries have closed their borders notwithstanding. If you look at Trinidad and Tobago, you can see what happened. They closed their borders and they shut out 25 people who are now resident in Barbados. I mean, what sense does that make? And even as we continue, it's interesting that Trinidad and Tobago has closed their borders, shut down most economic activity, but apparently the distilleries are still producing rum. And that's something that I'm having challenges with. So, I mean, while I'm not, it's not for me to criticize the policies of the government of Trinidad and Tobago, I just find it odd that at a time like this, when you're shutting down people who's doing nails and whatnot, you would allow a brewery and a distillery to be producing alcoholic beverages for export, because you also understand that's an economic lifeline. So Richard, it's not a simple situation. And I really feel that you and others who have been badgering this government about closing our borders need to lay off a bit, because the reality of the situation, it is not as easy as that. Yeah, somebody's saying that they think that Barbados should be open to medical supplies but closed to tourists. And I mean, again, which tourist has been coming to Barbados since this crisis started? I mean, you say things like that, but think about it. We have had no tourist traffic because there's nothing for a tourist to come on. Virgin, British Airways, they're not flying to Barbados, and they're certainly not going to bring you in if you said, I want to come and spend a holiday in Barbados. Because if you did, at the borders, you'll be told you'll be spending the first 2 weeks in quarantine. So again, when you say, oh, close to tourists is a sensational position. If we are, for all intents and purposes, we are close to tourists now, because there's nowhere a tourist can get here. And then when they get here, they know they immediately have to go into quarantine if they're coming from anywhere other than St. Vincent, which is the only other open port in the Caribbean now. So I'm not really understanding the point. I'm really not understanding it. Somebody else told me, this is a lady from Canada that chats with me. She said that she has a basketball court a few blocks down from her. And up until recently, it was busy. You know, people playing basketball and playing games and whatnot. What government did is it took down the nets, and they're cordoning off the area with yellow tape, and they seem to have gotten the message. I still like the Indian approach, though. You send police out there with some bamboo rods, shear blows. Problem solved. You don't have to put on the tape or not. You shear blows. That's sometimes what you have to do. Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon. Good morning.
Peace be unto you, Mr. Wickham.
Good morning. Morning.
Well, we had to get some of it. We had to get that. That is what kept us in line. I don't know about you, but my day is gone. I think I may be older than you.
Mm-hmm. But I have a few points. Bamboo?
First, let me send belated birthday greetings to you and the
Thank
most honorable, Gabby Carter.
Okay.
I too want to send get well greetings, heartfelt get well greetings from myself, from my family. And I hope she's resting, because she deserves it, to my Prime Minister, Mia Amor Motley. I want to send deepest condolences too to the racing fraternity and to the family and friends, racing fans of Venice Richard, I saw passed away.
Oh, Venice Richard's passed away?
Yes.
Okay, I wasn't aware.
You read the paper?
No, I did, but I didn't realize that he had passed away. News. Okay.
Yes, he was one of my top jockeys, he and Charlie Griffith.
Let me join with you in offering condolences as well.
Another thing I want to say to you, I totally agree with the gentleman yesterday that spoke after the Minister of Health. I agree with him with everything, and they've got to do something, because I still seeing people walking up and down the place and going at people's homes and things like that there. And they are not taking heed. And then when the government have to take serious steps, then everybody will be criticizing the government. You are speaking about the elderly. Mr. Wickham, there are people right now, as I speak, that are suffering to the hands of the family. They don't see the checks, the bank card gone, and they are not getting treated properly. And sometimes when you see these people, I had a lady from St. Andrew, and she was in her 90s, but still strong. And I would tell her, a lot of people told me that, because when I go to the clinic, so I go and I sit. So I love my elderly people, and they would talk to me. Up to this morning, somebody called me and was telling me about a gentleman who the wife passed, and he's not getting treated properly. He ain't even got a clean pajama. So when you say that, sometimes these people go to get the lady, tell me, you know why she ain't giving her family her money? She said sometimes she tell them to buy things, then bring the things she want. When they come back, she ain't getting back her chance to do what she have to do.
So what is the solution?
She do it, and she did it until she died.
So what is the solution?
The solution is, yes, the lady probably come from all the way there because she probably feels safe at the bank there in town. And probably she came to town because she could get everything in town.
So she feels safe at the... She feels
safer... I'm talking about now with the COVID.
No, but the point I am making, ma'am, is that the COVID was clearly something that was possible. So perhaps she should be allowed to expose herself to the virus on the bus.
No, I'm not saying
expose herself
that.
To the virus while standing in a line at the bank. Because she feels more safe, but the reality is that she's killing herself in a different way.
But I am not saying that she should. A lot of people still didn't get serious about this thing.
But ma'am, what I am saying, ma'am, the point I am trying to make is that I have no time for conversations now where people say to me, oh, I feel safer going in a bank and standing up in a line. Because the fact is that what you are doing at 88 years old by putting yourself in a lane is making yourself unsafe. So if you are not prepared to make the arrangements for yourself, then somebody else needs to make them for you.
But
I understand the trust issues. A lot of old people have trust issues. But the point of the matter is you're going to overcome it.
A lot of these elderly people scared of giving their money.
Yeah, well, they got to get real because they might be scared of that and they may receive something else from a stranger.
The other day, I was talking to someone, and they told me they know this lady that this person used to come around. I helped them so good. So after maybe a few years or whatever, they decided to put the bank book in their hand. And now when they went back to the bank, every cent gone.
Yeah, ma'am, I have heard all of those stories, and there's nothing new. But there are mechanisms that you can adopt to deal with situations like that. Okay? I think that the time has come that nonsense has to stop. Because there's no place for that in 2020. COVID or no COVID.
With Grenada now, I totally agree with what Grenada doing, and we're going to have to do that there also. Yeah. Anyhow, I wish you all the best. You be safe, and I hope that you enjoy your birthday.
I did, ma'am. Thank you. Thanks for wishing me happy birthday, and also thanks for reminding me about Venice Richards passing.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
God bless.
Right. Okay, thank you for calling, ma'am. And this is 434-1790. Good morning.
Hey, morning.
Good morning, morning.
Morning. Can you hear me well?
I can hear you perfectly.
Good. First of all, happy belated birthday to you. Hope you enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed the bicycle ride that you had. I'm a bicycle rider myself.
Okay.
Yeah, I got to get back into that, keep fit. What you said, I just want to comment quickly on what you said earlier and what a gentleman caller you had also said. Right now, we need to concentrate on what is going on about here with this very wicked virus that we have here. And in the world, because this is not a political thing, it's a people thing. And right now, people come before the economy. And we need to protect ourselves, protect one another, and look and hope and pray for some viable solution that would curve and flatten this problem that the world, the Caribbean, is currently facing. Right? And I think that less time needs to be spent now on political banter and focus more on this main issue right now. All right, with that being said, when the Democratic Labor Party is good and ready to bring out their candidates, and they will do so, measures are in place, that will happen, and it will happen very soon.
Okay.
I don't know what the rush is all about,
soon
but it
and very
will happen.
Soon.
It will happen, and I will leave it there at that. It will happen.
I grew up hearing that the Lord coming soon too.
Well,
and that
no
that
problem.
Will also happen in the fullness of time.
He will. Don't worry.
He will too.
Oh yes. Oh yes.
So the question is, which gonna happen first? Is he gonna return to Earth, or is the Democrat Labor Party gonna announce the candidates? Which gonna happen first?
Well, I will leave you. And those that are constantly asking that question, the figure that went out.
Because I'm asking both questions. I want to know when he's coming back, and I also want to know when the candidates can get announced. Okay, you can't announce them now.
Just make sure that you are prepared and your candle is lit for when our Lord and Savior arrives. Make sure that virgins that some candles were lit and some were, and when the
but I need a virgin.
They were knocking at the door that they were not. They
were but I need a virgin, sir. I need a virgin, so if I light my candles, I will be selling the wrong signal.
Okay, very well.
But no, but seriously, you appreciate that in the United States of America, they're in the middle of a presidential nomination. And
right.
For all intents and purposes, Bernie Sanders has conceded. And it will go through with Biden. And a big part of the reason for that is that they appreciate that in these times, you cannot really canvass or campaign. The point I'm making is that what the DLP has now been faced with is an unexpected setback, an unplanned setback, and a setback that will prevent them from holding meetings, holding branch meetings, from presenting candidates now, probably until close to the end of the year. Because even after this process is concluded, I mean, we're looking at August potentially. They then have to start a process of reigniting the branches and getting them nominations. So the point I'm making, sir, is that while you may have thought that I was being a bit hasty, the fact of the matter is if you had something in place, it would have been easy for you to say, well, let's pause the process and let's restart it later. But the fact is that you're now looking at getting to the halfway point with no candidate identified. So it's a serious point that, you know, sometimes you have to make plans to deal with these unexpected scenarios. You don't agree?
Right. Well, to a certain extent, but I just want to say to you, right, before I quickly move on with that, because as I said, I don't want to be caught up in this political thing, no, because we're faced with more serious challenges here, with people not really listening and adhering to the precepts that have been put before them, and I really want to touch on that quickly before I go, right? But I will just say this and end up with that part, right? We have started the process. Things are, as I will say, and I will not go into detail, are already in place already. So those of whom are thinking that the Democratic Labor Party is just sitting down on its political laurels, doing twiddling thumbs and hoping for something to happen, they're sadly mistaken.
Okay. So y'all are not waiting for the Almighty?
No. We have a very fierce leader, and a damn good president, if I may say so, right? That her head is on. She knows. No. Yeah. She's a very wise lady. And for those that think otherwise, well, that's a matter for them.
No, anyway, I ain't getting into that. I just want to make sure she has her candles lit.
Yes, very much so.
Okay.
For moving on, though, I really want to take this opportunity to really agree with the Richard Carter gentleman, right? And what I've seen, just like you have seen, and all of us have seen, people really are not taking the social distancing or people distancing seriously. I don't think half of them really watch. I mean, credible sources, not the fake news seminar that's going around called people taking this opportunity to do a lot of nonsense and cause more panic than is already there, right? But if you watch what's going on in Spain, Spain has even put even more fierce restrictions on people that obviously think they don't need, they're stronger than anybody else. One person, though, is allowed outside. What by one person at a time is allowed outside, and you are only allowed outside if you're going to get meds or groceries. One person. I'm here watching it live now. The supermarkets have been totally obliterated, locked off. There's nothing. It means nothing. So those are very extreme measures, and people have to take those measures because they have people like some here, Belgians, that's supposed to have some measure of education along with common sense, supposedly, right? I just don't want those alike, and it's sad to see that. I will hope it don't come to that, that the Royal Barbados Police Force, and I must say they're doing a sterling job, keep up the good work, right? we have to take extreme measures, like what you're talking about, like with the chaps, with the bamboo stick, and I saw it, and perhaps a few of them here need some good hot lashes, because I saw a video, I don't know if you saw it, of some young people saying that they're outside, they don't care, and if they and they said in a group, what if the police come down and run?
One
that
tail
is stupid.
Yeah,
that is, I don't know if you saw that.
I saw the video.
That made me so angry. It's funny. I mean, people, and then you still see people lining up by particular supermarkets, and it's like they don't care. Then you have some Rastafarian. I know somebody Rastafarian community may get Rastafarian for saying, I really don't care. But some of them talk. In a Lilliput world.
You so what are they saying, that the ganja will save them from the virus?
A lot of people are claiming, are saying that marijuana, if you smoke a good set of it, it will, because they're saying that the virus doesn't like heat. People come with all kind of things. I would like to know which university and where they really studied. If the people that have the brands that
sir,
study.
I'm going to laugh, honestly. I can't believe that. People are already saying that.
Yes.
The ganja is the cure.
I know of a couple of people, personally, that have been saying this. And
you know, it's really ridiculous. You know a Trinidadian guy called Dr. Travis Sears?
Yes.
Right.
Well,
you saw his solution?
Yes, I did.
You put a Bible in the water and splash, splash.
Yeah, well, these people are making a mockery not only of the faith, they're making a fool of themselves.
They make a fool of themselves.
Yeah, my larger concern,
because those children that were playing, you could deal with them effectively where the police just come and get one or two of them some lashes and chase them. But the 88-year-old lady on a bus from Josie Hill, to me, she's a bigger part of the bigger problem.
Well,
because
I think that
lady believes in all good conscience that what she's doing is right. I don't think that she is misguided in the way that those children in the thing are, where they know they're doing something wrong.
Well, I think
she believes that what she's doing is right, and that is the only way that she can exist. And my challenge is that there are people who will call on the program and will say, yeah, but you know she got cooked because she ain't got nobody else.
No, I don't think that's a good
Somebody excuse. Just messaged me so and said that if I don't know that the Josie Hill bus don't stop in Warren, so what is she to do?
Right. Well, no. Well, I think that those elderly folk don't have proper supervision. Had she had proper supervision, that would not have happened.
Or proper support.
In my opinion. And, you know, and on the other hand, you have to also take consideration probably she wasn't thinking straight because, you know, you have to bear in mind loss of memory. Sometimes you don't know. We don't know. We can only voice our opinion based off of what, you know, whatever. You don't know exactly. You have to have the full information in order to make a case. But saying that, I do to some extent agree with what you're saying. And had she had proper supervision, family that would do her bidding for her, even if she find it trustworthy to head all the way into town where there was some place that she already passed that she could have dealt with, you know, that is all left to be said. And these things that we all need to look at. And in the case of the vagrants, now, we all think that vagrants are immune. They're immune. Their immune system is quite tolerant to this dreaded disease because they're on the streets. They do all kind of messy things with themselves, both the men and the women and what have you. We see it every day, both here and all over the place, different parts of the world. You've seen it. I've seen it in Italy and different places I've been. And, you know, but that doesn't mean that we should not check them as well. We can't afford to take chances with no one. And they still have a major concern, as I heard someone said not too long ago, with the QEH. Although they are taking certain precautions, I don't think that they are taking enough precautions. But how can you be saying one thing, doing one thing on one hand, and still have a whole set of people corralled on a tight, like you have a whole herd of sheep in one area? Mm-hmm. And that does not make no sense. That is still defeating the purpose. And the COVID czar, as you all call him, Richard Carter and others, this is something, because this falls under all of them heading, you understand? They should need to be dealing with and do something about that, because it looks ridiculous. I pass and say, I can't believe what I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. Now, we are here preaching on the TV night after night on Channel 8 and wherever else about social distancing. That is the worst example of social distancing. They talk about the minivans, but that's even worse than the minivans or the ZRs. So you can't be cutting one side of the tail and the other side of the tail just left there out in the open.
Mm.
So you have to, you got to balance both sides. You can't be saying one thing and doing something else different.
Two things for you. Somebody messaged me and telling me if you don't think that Chris would have been a better leader. And then somebody else is telling me which faction are these candidates going to be coming from. And they're saying that there are two factions in the Democratic Labour Party, and that's what's keeping the DLP from launching the candidates.
Well, as
the problem is that both of those things, can you make a quick response, and then we're going to move on, because we've got a long...
No, ain't no response for that. Right now, as I said, our focus only is making sure that we contain the issue. And as far as, I just want to say this little piece, quickly, with the control of closing the borders,
mm-hmm.
right? If certain things had been done in the interim, in the beginning, it could have somehow controlled the problem and not let it get the status that it is. That's what I would say to you. Have a good afternoon.
All right, sir. I want to thank you for your call. It was good to hear from you. And so we have quite a few people, Mr. Wickham, I'm surprised that you have become a supporter of corporal punishment, but I agree with you, sometimes a lash is the only language that some people understand. Maxine McLean also sent me a message, and she said that she noted that I have changed my position on agriculture last week, and this week I've changed my position on corporal punishment. She looks forward to next week's program, where I may be opening with a sincere word of prayer to God. Maxine, the only way that can happen is if the Lord comes back to claim his world between this week and next week. Because that's perhaps the only time by which I will be convinced that the whole idea of a second coming actually does make sense. So I moved slightly to the center regarding the issue of agriculture and slightly to the center regarding the issue of corporal punishment in a time like this, because I think that the swift and decisive action of the Indian police has been effective in that regard. And I believe there are some people for whom a swift, warm lash would make a difference to the way that they behave. So I am moving on that, but I'm a little far away from the prayer to God to start the program. That you got to wait on that one, Maxine, but it's good to hear from you.